literally just go out and be kind to somebody. So that could be just, again, like I said before, that could just be really listening to somebody, letting them know that you see them, right? That could be simplistically handing them, giving them food, you know? There's a lot of ways to be great. You know, that could be opening a door for somebody. There's that could be, you know, if you're checking out the register anywhere, you know, looking at the person that's checking you out, saying thank you and saying their name. I try to do that to make it more personal. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can be kind. You know, because like Georgina and I are in the gratitude community, you know, with you and I, it's like, it's very simple for me to have a conversation with somebody and then just ask them what are they grateful for in their life, because that's what I do. But I don't expect that from other people. You know what I mean? Like, but these are all, again, there's so many ways. Just think of kindness as being like the sibling of gratitude. And if you want to be a catalyst for gratitude, just go out and be kind.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have a fellow gratitude seeker and gratitude spreader and a good friend of mine. His name is Chris Palmore. And we will be talking about quite a few things, one of them being a wonderful book that he will be launching. And also some of the things that we can learn about gratitude from him, and he's always thinking about ways of engaging people in this beautiful practice, and I'm sure that he will have some pretty amazing things to share with us. You might already know him because he's already been on the Gratitude Podcast, and I'm really happy to have him here once again. Chris, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you, Georgie, and glad to be back, man. Lots happened since we talked many months ago, and I thank you again for letting me be on the podcast and allowing me to experience this format and the interview session, and inspiring me to start my own podcast. So, you know, since we've talked, I launched Gratitude Space Radio. So, so thank you for that, man. Really sincerely.
My pleasure. I'm really glad that we're doing this, and we're helping people discover gratitude and get more into this beautiful habit and explore it further themselves. I think this is something very important for us too, and I believe that for all of the people on this planet, to be honest.
For sure, man. I believe that you know, gratitude is a practice, you know, it's a habit. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, us being gratitude creators or, you know, we really enjoy creating content that allows people to be in practice. So the cool thing is if you're listening to two people talk about what gratitude is, you're actually in a practice, you know. It's a form of study, you know, and my podcast and your podcast, we're putting these things out that are allowing people to take a deeper look at gratitude, and at the same time they're actually practicing gratitude because they're listening to it. It's like, you know, it's a habit, it's a daily habit, you know.
Yeah, it's something beautiful that you can get connected with by just being in the presence of it, whether other people are talking about it or experiencing it, or you are doing certain practices yourself. So let us know a little bit what you've been up to in these last few months since we've talked.
Thanks, Georgie. And yeah, many things have happened since we talked. I launched the podcast, and that's been phenomenal for so many reasons. I like to think, you know, I was doing written email interviews for years. I did one with you, which I really appreciated. That was kind of, I think that's kind of how you and I first met each other. And I really enjoyed those. But I'll tell you, you know, going from these written interviews, which are, you know, to sending questions out and getting responses and building web pages, to doing a podcast where I have a conversation with somebody, I have audio and I have video to inspire this gratitude to put these collections together, is I really felt like, going from one to the other, the best analogy is I was walking around with like two sticks in the woods trying to create fire. Now it's like somebody handed me like matches, you know, like, or a Zippo. Like it's amazing. That's what the podcast has been to me. Honestly, it's taken me from, you know, you have to going out and like looking, having searching and spending a lot of time to find gratitude, to where to people share gratitude, to basically being, I'm like swimming in gratitude, man. I have so many people to talk to, so much great stuff. That's, it's just, it's like night and day, literally going from the dark, like the dark ages into the present time. So, that's been massive. That's been absolutely massive. What I've learned from people, talking about gratitude, and I know you know this, it's the amazing thing about having a discussion with anybody about gratitude is that after you're done with it, you actually find you have more to be grateful for. So the amazing thing is I can have these conversations with people and I actually end up I walk away more grateful.
That's amazing. And I totally know how you feel. And since I do, I'm really curious what is the most interesting or impactful story that you heard while talking with other people about gratitude? Like what moved you the most, and why did it move you so much?
It's a great question. It's really open because there's been so many. So who do I want to share in this moment, right? I'm going to act like I'm in the moment here. I've got all these things running around in my head. So I think, the most impactful thing was a friend of mine named Teddy that owns a company called Grateful Peoples. He shared, I asked him who he was grateful for in his life, and he shared this amazing story about his mother who had MS. And how best to sell this in the quickest way. Basically what he told me is he said that, you know, his mom had this illness at a very young age. So this is how he always knew her. And this is how I took it, right? He made a conscious decision one day that either he could be angry that she had MS and be angry at this disease and kind of, you know, put that energy towards his mom, or he could just be grateful for it because this is his mom and this is who she is. And it is a part of her, right? It's, you know, it's who she is. And I thought, how powerful is it to take someone's disease and say, I'm grateful for it, and to put it in the spectrum of this is who they are. And I'm not going to allow negativity or anger to be between us because of this illness. And it was so beautiful him saying that, you know, I found a gratitude in for her MS, you know, and then he said, you know, it impacted her, having MS impacted my entire life. He said, he said, sometimes I'll sit down and I will just, you know, be grateful that I can tie my own shoes, you know, because he could see his mom couldn't do that. Or he says, you know, I'll be in the shower and just go, how wonderful and grateful I am that I could just bathe myself. Because he had seen that this is the person he loved most in his life had to have help with these things. And I thought, and that really, that was really powerful, Georgie. And just to think, I never, you know, just the thought process of saying, I am grateful for, opposed to I am angry at. Because you're either going to have one or two emotions towards someone's illness. There's something there. You know what I mean? When it comes up, there's something there, you know? And it was just really powerful to hear him construct this, a different way to look at a disease.
Wow. That's amazing. And I'm sure that we can all think about situations in our life where and when we are angry, and we tend to be in this angry habit. And yeah, what a beautiful shift in perspective, and what a difference it actually made in his life, because it's something that he couldn't change, right? It's something that he could just accept. And even more amazing is the fact that he was able to feel grateful and to choose to find gratitude even in that situation. I think this is, it's a beautiful story, and it's a great example of the power that we have, the power of the human spirit, and how capable it is to find gratitude even in those kinds of situations.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, I've been talking on the podcast a lot lately, and it's amazing that, you know, we can all have, okay, so perspective, I feel, is like a huge, this is something I've learned more in the last 6 months. It's like, it's such a huge key to being grateful, is perspective, and understanding that we get to choose what things mean, and we get to choose our stories, because you and I can have the exact same, we could have the exact same situation and thing happen to us, and we can react different ways. One of us, it could make, you know, for example, let's see here. So for, you know, Teddy's example, his mom having MS could have raised him to be a bitter person and very angry, you know, and almost unloving because of a disease that was, you know, crippling his mother. Or even, you know, we flip it to, you know, my mom died of cancer. That was really crappy. And I could make that my one note, right? I could make that my life. I could make her, so for example, I could make her death my life. But instead, because I wrote her a letter of gratitude before me because I loved her, what's come out of my mom passing away from cancer and all the things around it is that, you know, I'm talking specifically of you today because I wrote this letter of gratitude to my mother. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
But I had to make a choice out of that, you know. I had to make a choice and say, well, what does this mean? What do I want? You know, how do I want to look at the situation? Because it's my choice. You know, I like to frame, you know, talking about death or, you know, people we love that we missed, there's a huge flip side there. So for one thing is, the reason that you're in so much pain right now because you miss somebody is because of all the love. It's because of all the memories, right? It's because of all, there's so much behind it, right? And that's why you're in pain right now. But let's flip the script, right? Let's say that you had none of those memories and then you were just passive. This is just the way it is. You know what I mean? Like you're feeling this way because of, it's a big loss, but bottom line is you had to have had these experiences to feel that loss. You know, it's the price of admission if you're going to love somebody, you know? And if you can frame your mind and going, look, so if we keep in mind that the reason you're in pain right now is because there was a lot of good, then you can start to frame things. I'm not saying this is going to happen the day of, but I'm just letting people know they can, right? Because it's a choice. My situation, I feel like I say this all the time. I go, look, I could obviously just think, my story could be like, I could go, I love my mother. She died of cancer. Okay. There's very little there. Okay. I'm not giving you much other than life and death. But the reality of it is I can flip this and go, look, you know, I'm so grateful I had a mother who loved me for 35 years. I understand that that's not a given. Everyone doesn't get that, Georgie. And some people are born where their mothers don't want them. There's some people, their mothers die. Or they're born and then they, you know, they have awful parents. You know, these are all things that can play out in reality. I know that I'm fortunate. You know what I mean? I know I had this, you know, in writing my book, I actually took a step further and I was thinking about, you know, the only reason, not the only reason, but you know, part of the reason I exist is that my parents had a miscarriage the year before. They really wanted to have a son, and Gideon was born and lived 23 hours. Okay. And he died in the hospital, and it was awful. Absolutely awful for my parents, and even my dad, you know, mentioning it the other day, which is, you're talking about 43 years ago, Georgian, right? And the fact that my mom's not here, you know. But I'm telling you this because if that hadn't happened like it did, they wouldn't have gone, okay, we still want to have a son, right? We still want to have a son. So they decide, let's go ahead and roll the dice again. And because they had the experience before, their doctor this time said, look, we're going to need to sew you up so that you don't have this kid early. So think about this. And this is me reframing things for myself, right? This is me thinking about this like 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago. My mom wanted me so much to be born and healthy that she put stitches in her body just so I would show up on time. And that's me framing it, right? That's not a statement my dad made. I've heard this story before. Do you understand the difference between me saying my mom had me and what I just told you? You know what I mean? Like there's so much more to be grateful for there. It's not just a delivery, right? And most stories, it's never just a delivery, right? There's so much more. And this is part of, you know, me appreciating my mother and me focusing on all the good and all the love and not focusing on her death, because that is sad. Her death is sad. She should have lived a lot longer, but that just wasn't in the cards. But that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on her love, which is continues to spread more love. You know, I think that we talked about before we got on the air, you know, basically there's giving thanks, you know, being grateful. And then there's people that are catalysts for gratitude. And honestly, I feel like the biggest catalyst for gratitude in my entire life was my mother. You know, she, kindness is a huge catalyst for gratitude. Love is a catalyst for gratitude. Listening, being present, right? These are all catalysts for gratitude. You can go out and set up situations and be a catalyst for gratitude. And when you know you're doing it, it is powerful for not only you, but the other person. You will get so much out of going out and just going, look, I'm going to be a catalyst for gratitude today. It will entirely change your life. So if you can't sit around and think of things you're grateful for, go out and be that gratitude for somebody else. And that's, you know, I know you get it, right? It's like when we start thinking about other people, we stop thinking about our problems.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe that's a very important part of why gratitude is so powerful, because once we get to see those things that aren't naturally the focus, like our natural tendency is to focus on the things that are bad in our life, it's very helpful for us to get outside of ourselves. And yeah, it works both ways. Either we start with gratitude and we want to spread it, because when we are grateful, we want to spread that gratitude, or when we help other people be grateful. But I wanted to ask you something. What do you think about this idea and this thing that people tend to do? From my point of view, it's let's say a lacking diplomacy. The fact that people tell other people in their maybe in their good intention to help another human being to feel grateful, saying that you should be more grateful. In my opinion, it's not the best way to approach this.
I completely agree. For one thing, I don't think as individuals, we should be telling other people anything to do. you should never tell somebody how to feel. Obviously, if, you know, it's different if you're friends with somebody, you know, there's a comfortability. And if, you know, you're good friends with somebody, there's a difference in the relationship. But you're talking about just the blanket to the masses, you know, like the stranger on the street, you know, going up and saying, you know, you need to be grateful. You have so much to be grateful for. I think that's, if anything, you know, how to put this into perspective. We're definitely not going to talk about religion, but we're going to say this, you know, if you're on the street and you hear somebody speaking, saying, preaching hellfire and damnation, and it's not the belief you agree with, that's the feeling the person's getting when you look at them and say, you should be grateful.
Exactly.
and that's not a feeling, and that's nothing I ever want to, I know what that feeling is, and I would never want to give that. I think that I definitely, the approach is not to tell people that they have a lot to be grateful for. I'll, you know, with, so let's just talk about my life, right? What do I do? I just go out and I have conversations with people, and then I'll ask them, you know, if they have some things in their life they're grateful for. That's a conversation though. See, that's not a blowhorn. That's not a, you know, that's not me telling them they have to, you know what I mean? Like, there's a huge difference between having a conversation and being present for somebody and just, you know, and just demanding something in their face, like telling them what to do. I think it's, I don't think it's a healthy way to communicate, period, for anybody. Over anything. So, like, you know, I've asked hundreds of people and had done hundreds of videos across the country, and I felt like I've never told anybody they have a lot to be great. I don't feel like I've ever been that person. You know what I mean? Like, cause there's intention in that person. It's very different from my intention. My intention, period, is that I want to create a moment where they're going to share what they're grateful for with me. And the only way I can do that is by not being the guy you're talking about. So, you know what I mean? Like, step one, don't be the person to walk and go, you have a lot to be grateful for, right? It's not, because the bottom line is some people, people are different. And the easiest way to do is to have a conversation and then make it an organic thing. I feel completely fine having the conversation with anybody. So that's, you know, I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but I feel like, speaking more to the point I was talking before, if you want to be a catalyst for gratitude, there's a lot of ways you can do it. And one of the ways you shouldn't do it is walking up to strangers and saying, you have a lot to be grateful for. You're not being a catalyst for gratitude then. What you're doing is you're making a negative, you're actually putting a negative stigma to gratitude, because they're going to have this memory of you in their face, almost like somebody at a protesting, or, you know, it's ugly. So if you want to be a catalyst for gratitude, just go out and be kind to somebody. Literally just go out and be kind to somebody. So that could be just, again, like I said before, that could just be really listening to somebody, letting them know that you see them, right? That could be simplistically giving them food, you know? There's a lot of ways to be great. You know, that could be opening a door for somebody. That could be, you know, if you're checking out the register anywhere, you know, looking at the person that's checking you out, saying thank you and saying their name. I try to do that to make it more personal. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can be kind. You know, because like Georgina and I are in the gratitude community, you know, with you and I, it's like, it's very simple for me to have a conversation with somebody and then just ask them what are they grateful for in their life, because that's what I do. But I don't expect that from other people. You know what I mean? Like, but these are all, again, there's so many ways. Just think of kindness as being like the sibling of gratitude. And if you want to be a catalyst for gratitude, just go out and be kind.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So. It's actually the kind of feeling that we want to get other people to feel. Like when you think about this idea of you should be grateful, you feel bad, you feel guilty that you're not. And I love the fact that you mentioned this part about how gratitude can actually have a negative spin on it, because of these kinds of situations in which people might have told you at one point that you should be grateful for the things that you have and that you might not be for some reason. And I believe that this is not gratitude. Like, this is just trying to make that person feel bad one way or another. Doesn't have anything to do with real gratitude. And like you said, when someone is kind to you, it's very easy to feel grateful for that kindness. And especially since you're listening to this interview, most probably you are the kind of person who is open to feeling grateful easier than most of the other people. And also you are hopefully the kind of human being that wants to spread kindness as well. So, yeah, I think it's an important conversation, how we can actually become catalysts for gratitude and spread that gratitude, because this is one of the most beautiful ways in which we can enjoy a better life ourselves, but also the people around us. And I truly believe that if you want to change the world, we can start small, and you never know where it actually takes you. When you have many people that are grateful in the world, that are appreciating each other, that are kind to each other, there are so many things that can change in a beautiful way.
For sure, man. Everyone's got their own battles and their own demons, and it's the power of kindness. It's an amazing thing to go out and just look for ways. It's all intentional. Just like practicing gratitude is intentional. If you can look for ways to be kind to other people, again, you're going to stop worrying about your own problems. The cool thing is when you do this too, is you actually become present. That's, another huge benefit of being grateful is being present. Gratitude allows you to be present and appreciate the things that you have opposed to the things that you don't have. It allows you to feel like you're not lacking, at least for that moment, right? Or at least could say, we all have aspirations and things we want to do, but when we are present and we talk about what we're grateful for in the moment, or if you're being kind to somebody, you're actually coming into the moment, the present moment. And, I've been thinking about, I think people need to understand that, the future is just an idea, Georgia, and the future is an idea that may never, and when you arrive at the future, it actually isn't the future. It's the present. The more we are in the future, we're not in the present. And the more we're stuck in the past, we're not in the present. And period, all we really have is the present. We're never guaranteed another day in this planet. There's no guarantee there's no guarantee that you're going to be around a week from now. And I'm not trying to sound morbid. I'm just stating a fact. What's important right now? What are you grateful for right now? Because most of the time we're in our heads worrying about everything that we don't have control over, and we're worrying about a future that hasn't arrived, and we're stuck in a past that has already that is the past that has already happened. Again, you can't change it, right? And what that's doing is it's taking us out of the moment. It's completely stealing our gratitude. It completely is. It's completely taking away from everything that you have going for you right now. I wake up and I do a journal. And I find that I say that, I've been more so, it's like, I'm just grateful to be alive. And if you can just pick up in the morning and go, I get another gift of this day, I think you're going to have a better day. I think you're going to see things you're more grateful for. You're going to appreciate more people in your life. You're going to slow down, because you have this day, you have this time right now. And it's not guaranteed that you're going to have, this is not... It's not forever. It's not. Period. It's not. So gratitude is a massive tool to bring you into the present moment. And I'll tell you, anybody out there, I'm sure most people get it, is like the present moment is where you want to be.
Totally. And I'm really happy that you're here with us right now and that you're listening to this conversation, because that means that you want to be in the present moment and you want to be more and more grateful. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you chose to do this. So thank you for choosing this and for being here with us. But getting to the next part of our interview, can you let us know a little bit about the book? You didn't mention that you have been working on a book for the last 6 or 7 months, right?
Yeah, well, the writing for the book started in the very beginning of the year, but I'll tell you, the story, so this is a fun story. So, I'm in Bogota, Colombia. I'm visiting my fiance, I have this conversation. It's the end of December. I have this conversation with my mentor that I've had. Fortunately, Thomas Kalathis has been my mentor and friend for over 5 years. And he just, I was doing interviews. I was continuing to do interviews and for the website. And he just said, Chris, he's like, what, he said, where do you want this all to go? Like, what is your, he asked me that question. He's like, why are you doing this? Which I think is a great question to ask yourself anything when you're involved in a project. Like what do you want? Like what would be the ideal situation all this is leading towards to, right? You know, people could take this a lot of ways, like in their life. You could say with a relationship, you could think, okay, well, ideally we'd be married and we'd live together, be happy the rest of our lives. Like that would be an idea in a relationship. But in a situation where you're creating gratitude interviews and you've got this website and I've taken tours and done videos, he asked me again, he's like, where's this all going? I said, well, you know, it would be amazing to have 7 other writers interviewing people so that we would have a new gratitude interview every day. You know, that would be really cool, right? Have more people in the mix, you know? And then I said, ideally what I want to do is I want to get in front of as many people as I can and be a catalyst for gratitude. That's what I want to do, period. And he said, well, Chris, he's like, if you want to do that, he's like, you need to get a book. And the funny thing about that is, you know, Georgiana, is that he said the same words to me the first time we ever talked on the phone over 5 years ago. Thomas, he's traveled the world as a keynote speaker. He's an author. He's been all over the world. And he, when I got him on the phone 5 years ago and I shared my gratitude story with him about my mother, he said, first off, he said, Chris, what can I do for you? He literally asked me, what can I do to help you? Which was incredible. I think it may have been the first time a stranger's really said that to me in my entire life, where I felt like they meant it, you know, opposed to just some passing statement. But he's in that conversation. He said, you know, he's like, you need a book. He's like, I can't guarantee anything, but I do know the people in the speaking circuit because I do that. He's like, if you want to get in that realm, you have to have a book. So that's 5 years ago. So now we have we're moving forward to January. We are at the end of December. We have the same conversation. And I go, and I hadn't forgotten that conversation, right? The one 5 years ago, I definitely hadn't forgotten that. But we had it again. And I said, you're completely right. You know, that's been something that's been sitting in my head. He said, and then he gave me a prompt. He said, how about this? He said, you know, don't stress yourself out too much. He's like, how about the next 6 months, you get into the habit of writing every day, 500 words a day for the next 6 months. And then you just see what happens. You know, maybe at the end of it, you decide, I have no desire to write a book, you know, or I don't like writing, or, you know what I mean? Like he was basically prompting me to get started. He's like, go ahead and get started and see what happens. So I did, I was like, I could do 500 words a day. Thomas, you know, I try to do my best to whatever Thomas says. He's an authority, but he's also a friend and he has my best interest at heart. I know those are 3 things that are always running when I talk to him. And I always appreciate his time because that guy is super busy. but he doesn't make you feel like that when I'm with him. I'm just saying, I know he's, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I did, you know, I wrote for 6 months and in that period of time, you know, I had a lot of story and I have a lot of story, you know, originally after writing a lot, I was like, okay, I had this big memoir idea. And then because of the podcast, I was interviewing people that had shorter books and I was thinking about my big book and I was looking at their small books, right? Their books are like 100, 130 pages. And I realized that the analogy of this is like, people don't know me well enough right now to marry me, but I would like them to date me, right? So the idea is I decide, okay, I'm going to do a simplistic story. I don't need to give them my entire life. I just need to give them something, right? I need to give them something about my story and gratitude, not my entire existence or my whole story and gratitude. So the cool thing is that allowed me to go, okay, we're going to make this is a lot easier. It's going to be a lot shorter. One of my other mentors, he released his book, Bobby Kuntz, The Someday Solution, amazing book about just getting started. You know, his whole thing is, if you look on the calendar, Georgian, there's no day called someday. You know, he's like, when people say they're going to do something someday, that actually means for the most part, that means it's never going to happen. So you got to start, like we were saying, back to what Thomas was saying, whatever you're planning on doing, you have to start. Without starting, you haven't done anything and it just becomes someday. So because he did his book, he came across a really amazing editor. He hooked me up with Nusha. And then because she's an amazing person, she her and I started talking about ideas for the book. And because she had understood my story, she said, how about we initiate other people to write essays and letters in gratitude for the book? And I'll tell you, I hadn't thought of that at all, Georgianne, even though, you know, it's a great, I hadn't, and I'll tell you why I didn't think about it. Cause I was thinking I did that years ago and it's almost like pulling teeth to get people to write things. It's a big ask for somebody to write things. I know this, right? I've done this. I've asked this, but because she held my hand and it was her idea and she's like, I know people in the writing community. She's like, we can do this, right? And I go, okay. I said, that's great. If you think we can do this, like I needed her to say, right? If you think we can do this, I'm down for it. So the amazing thing is, what happened with her idea was it became an anthology. Okay. So the cool thing is the book that's coming out in a couple of weeks, there are over 60 people, different people that wrote in essays and letters in gratitude for it that are in the book. Okay. So the cool thing is all I want to do is initiate people to be a catalyst for gratitude, right? And the book itself has done that because specifically because it initiated people to write in gratitude, the book is doing exactly what I want to do. And it is a complete success regardless of who it hasn't been published yet. But the fact that people wrote for it, it's a home run for me. So it's like just the fact that these people's letters and essays are in this book and there's some really great ones. I want to share one with you here in a minute. It's a win, you know, it's a total win. And the great thing is, that, you know, I understand that gratitude is different for everybody and maybe my story won't resonate with you, but I'll tell you, you're going to find something in this book that resonates with you. You have to, because we have every taste, we have every flavor in this book, right? And there's going to be something that that's going to resonate with you because it's not just one man's story. It is everyone's story. And that's what the amazing thing about gratitude is it's something that brings us all together and it's something we all have in common and we all have these stories of gratitude. And when you read or you listen or you watch something in gratitude, it becomes a mirror reflection to you. So this book has so much of that. So the great thing is it tells part of my story and then it tells all these other people's story in gratitude, you know? So it's really beautiful, man. Again, because my story and gratitude is everybody else's story, right? That's what Gratitude Space is. You know, the interviews, these other people, the videos on my tour. These are other, you know what I mean? I have my story, but my story is that I want to hear everybody else's story. I want to share everybody else's stories. So I know I'm kind of rambling, but that's what the book is about.
Yeah. So let us know the story that you wanted to share.
Yes. I pulled up one this morning and I was thinking, what can I share with Georgianne? I'm reading this really great book about finding your happiness, the purpose, the Japanese way. It's a really great book. But and then it clicked with me that there was one I wanted to share. And I think that your audience really liked this. So this is a essay that's in the book. It's called Spreading Gratitude. It's by Molly McLaughlin. So it says this. I recently hit my 2000th consecutive day of gratitude email messages to my friends and family, aka 5.479 years of daily gratitude.
Whoa.
This is not a single habit that I have kept. There is not a single habit that I've kept this consistently. And in the process, this practice has taught me a lot. Before starting this practice, I didn't hang out much in the state of gratitude regularly. For the most part, I hung out in a state of survival and suffering. Thanks to the repetition of this daily practice, mantra, or even prayer of gratitude, my mind is slowly but surely becoming more primed to seek out what's right versus what's wrong. I've also discovered that you're never done with the practice of gratitude. It is a daily creation. Without working that muscle, our lizard brain will sail right back to everything that doesn't work. Bruce Lee once said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I'm excited to see what life will look like after 10,000 days of gratitude. Lastly, I've learned that sharing gratitude can be even more soul-filling than keeping it all to ourselves. The gratitude contagion effect that happens when we don't keep our appreciation for our lives tucked away can be a win-win for both the listener and us. And that's why I'm grateful to be included in this book to help forward that goal of spreading gratitude as a collaborative and consistent part of my life.
Amazing.
Right?
Wow.
I read that, and the fact that she's done 2,000 days, and that's not just, that's her emailing her friends and family. Did you catch that? That wasn't just saying that she has a list in the morning. That's her literally putting together an email for 2,000 days in a row, dude.
Wow.
And then I just love the Bruce Lee analogy. She's like, I'm so excited, you know, the 10,000 kicks, you know, the one kick. What's going to happen in 10,000 days of gratitude? Like, where am I going to be in my practice, right? What's that going to look like? I just, I love that. I love that so much, man. I just, that was hitting me this morning when I was reading my book and thinking about what could I share with you about the book?
Yeah, this is wonderful. And it... The analogy is great because we think we should do so many things when it's actually some of the essentials that it's important for us to keep doing every day if we want to be happy and fulfilled in life. I love that. So since we're nearing the end of our time together, let our audience know how they can get the book, how they can get in touch with you and get the teaser that you mentioned before the interview.
Yes, thanks, Georgie. And so I want to, you know, what I was telling you is I wanted to gift your audience a taste of the upcoming anthology. And where this will be on the website, it'll be, and I'll send this over to you, Georgian, so you don't have to listen to the write-up, but it'll be at gratitudespace.com/thank you. I decided to make it, put it as a thank, you know, .com/thank you. So it's gratitudespace.com/thank you. If you go there, just give me your email. I will send you, I have a thing set up where I will send you a taste of the book. So that's one thing I'd love to gift your audience for just listening this far to our conversation. And then on top of that, by the time this episode does air, the book will be on Amazon. I will get you the link to that too. So bottom line is, gratitudespace.com is where everything is. I have Gratitude Space Radio. So if you're looking for more, podcast gratitude, if you want to top it off of, obviously, Georgians, you want to top it off with a little more of something else, Gratitude Space Radio is there. But the book, I'll have the gratitudespace.com/thank you. And then I'll also get in the show notes, so there'll be a link to the actual book if you'd like to pre-order it or purchase it. And just letting one last thing about the book, you know, at the end of the book, my ask is that if the book has inspired you to reach out to somebody or to have a moment of gratitude, if you wrote a letter, then I totally want to hear about that, because this book is not a singular thing. This book will birth another book. Because just like Georgina and I know, gratitude inspires gratitude. Gratitude breeds gratitude. So this book is going to inspire another book. And if for some reason this conversation you're hearing from me and Georgian and you getting to the book inspires you to reach again, to have a gratitude moment with somebody, if that happens, I want to hear about it. I sincerely want to hear about it. All day long, I want to hear about it. And if you would like to share with me, that's great. If you'd like to possibly have it be in a book in the future, that's great too. So I just want to tell everybody, I want to thank them for listening and listen to the story. And I want to thank you again, Georgian, for being a good friend and allowing me to share my voice, my story, and also this book.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I'm really happy that we got to have this conversation. And I'm sure that our listeners were inspired at least a little bit to choose gratitude more and to just live more with gratitude in their life. So thank you very much for all of the things that you've shared, and good luck with the book.
Thank you, Georgian. You have a wonderful day. I really appreciate you, man.
If you know that you don't need to be rich to feel abundant and grateful, then this course is for you. There are so many courses out there teaching you to get rich and to get rich fast. In my experience, being able to maintain a state of gratitude and abundance is far more valuable than getting rich. So I want to invite you on this 7-week journey from lack to abundance, because I would really love for you to experience more and more abundance in your life. The first step on this journey is to click the link in the description or go to georgianbenta.com/abundance.